Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Hey guys, Scott here. A quick mention about what today's episode's about. You're probably wondering, why was there no show Friday? Well, we were saving it up for this. So for a long time, I've been wanting to have a conversation on the show in depth about community and how it's how World of Warcraft tends to be a great place for this sort of stuff to form. And having been a part of a pretty large community for now 10 plus years, it seemed like a good opportunity to talk about it, given some recent events, but also an excuse to bring back an old friend. I won't give it away just yet. You're going to hear in a minute who's with me. But I think you'd be happy if you are a long listener of the show. The voice will be immediately familiar. So anyway, tuck in, give this a listen. And big thanks to Matthew Oxley for the music I'm about to play. We've had it forever, but it's the theme he made for our guild, AIE. Felt like that was an appropriate bit of music to play for this particular episode. So I'll play a bit of that, and we'll fade into the conversation that I had with a very special guest. Appreciate you guys listening. And good luck to both the Europeans who are traveling right now. And we hope they're doing good, which is partly why we did this today. Anyway, we'll see you next week for a normal show, hopefully with all of us. We'll see you then. Hey everybody, come pull up a chair and enjoy a reunion of sorts. I think it's a reunion. It's an also of sorts. It's of many sorts. It's the sort that's lots of fun, and I'm super glad I'm doing it. Welcome to the program. The one, the only, the Randy Deluxe. Randy Jordan from back in the day, dude. What's going on? How are you?
Oh my gosh, you're asking.
You weren't expecting that question, were you?
I wasn't. I should go back in time and ask you to not ask me how I'm doing.
That's right. You'd have to go back to like 2009, and then
So one thing that's changed. You know, you and I, we communicate quite a bit all the time for the last few years. But over the years since you and I last did the instance together, you care about how I'm doing.
Yeah,
and I appreciate that.
Well, you know, people move on and they have stuff going on. You want to make sure people are doing all right and all that. Now, people may be saying, whoa, what is this? What is happening here? Well, I can tell you, as many of you know, some of this is going to be not news to a lot of you, but back in 2010, Randy took up a position at Blizzard and our ability to do a weekly show for the World of Warcraft and so on kind of ended there, and we weren't able to do it anymore. We were able to thankfully continue to do FilmSack, and that's gone on to continue to be the rad thing that it is. But we've never really had an opportunity or a chance or even, you know, a good excuse to say, hey, we should get the band back together and talk for an episode. I don't really know why we haven't, except we were given reason here recently where it made a lot of sense for us to put our heads together and talk about a little bit about not just the history of, you know, all these things that bring us together. That all plays a part, obviously, but I wanted to focus today on the community aspect of video games, people in it, and how that stuff can just radically change your life. So a little bit of history here. Randy and I, when we started doing the show together in late 07, there was an opportunity to reform and sort of reorganize our guild, which at the time we thought was going to be this neat little side thing, but we didn't have, you know, we didn't have aspirations beyond that, I don't think.
Sorry to correct you. It was late 2006.
Sorry. Late 06. You're right.
The guild starts in February 2007.
You're totally right. And we hadn't, the show was not even a year old yet. And here we are, you know, 11 years into the show. Wait, it's more than that now, isn't it?
It's 12 shows, 12 years.
12 years. Holy crap. Yeah. And so when that happened, we had no idea, I don't think, the level of interest that there would be in people flooding in. They were coming obviously because of the show. That was sort of the gateway, but also it was a hot time for Warcraft, and you know, if you were going to start a guild, that maybe was the time to do it. And the show was doing really well and there was some notoriety there. So things were just really cranking. And at the time I thought, well, this is cool. This will be a thing that we have and it'll be there and we do what we do there and all that. And that'll be great. What I didn't know, and I want to discuss this some with you, is how much that would, in 10 years, how much that would change from, hey, this is a little side bit, to these are my tribe, these are my people, these are the people I trust and like the most in the world, these are better friends than flesh and blood people I communicate with in the real world.
Yeah. So when you and I met, I was working professionally in a capacity that would eventually become what we now call community management, but it didn't used to be. You know, like when you look at the development of communications, right? You have old media, new media, social media, Web 2.0. Like that's an evolution chart, right?
Sure.
And Web 2.0 comes along pretty late. Like no one's really thinking about it when suddenly everyone is their own speaker. You know, everyone has their own voice and the ability to do things like comment and edit everything out there, right?
Right.
And so I was working in a job where I had hundreds of customers and they were all disparate. They're all spread out all over the country. And I was emailing them and traveling to see them and so forth. And we were slowly working through the realization that what you needed to give people was the ability to talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And that sort of proto community management is what set the stage for me to, you know, to come along and along with you kind of cut our teeth on this wild new frontier. We really, you know, like podcasting itself, we just didn't really know what in the world we were doing. We just knew that there was something that needed to be done. Right?
Yeah, even the things early on that would inform this or that would sort of be a shadow of this, like, you know, for years I was involved in like shooter first person shooter clans and Unreal Tournament clans, and we'd have forums and we'd have places to sort of, you know, plan when we were going to play together or share mods or whatever. So there was some of that happening, but it was nothing compared to, well, A, managing what would become the world's largest World of Warcraft guild, or B, all the things that that means, which turns out means quite a lot. It was roughly, was it 2010 BlizzCon? Whenever it was, when the changes to guild size changed. And they made it so we could only have...
Oh, right. That was 09.
That was 09, right. Was it 09? It always feels like I'm about a year ahead of everything. But when that happened, there was you know, a huge outcry, but mainly from people like us. A few other guilds were affected as well, and we worked with those guilds to kind of come up with some ideas. But we freaked out because we were like, well, we got like 7,000 or 8,000 people, and how now are they supposed to communicate? We're now limited to, I think initially it was like 600 per guild or something. And then that went that number ended up going up before launch or before they actually put the expansion out. And, you know, put our heads together, figured out a way to do it. Smart technical people on quote unquote on staff for the guild. And that's the
real amazing thing. Yeah. It's not that we fumbled through figuring out what, you know, you had forums and you were really keen on how forums could be used to keep people communicating with each other 24/7. And, you know, but we were still kind of like regularly like, what's this Ventrilo thing? You know, like there was this constant new thing always on the horizon. And we were always trying to figure out whether or not it was a part of the future of community management or just some distraction. And you were really, I mean, you're really a pioneer in this regard, where you knew exactly how to reach people and how to keep reaching more and more people. And as we went, people would come along that were so good at helping, you know, at being more than just a part of the community, but being a community leader. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that happens to every community, right? Like, right. You know, guilds grow and guilds shrink, and this online community, it grew and it never stopped growing. And I think that's more the result of those other people, the people who came along like Stig and, you know, Veronica and so forth, who had these things to offer and were willing to, you know, to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And it's funny because I don't know. I felt like it was the kind of thing that was going to crush her under its own weight. I had real worries about that in the beginning. And you know, as much as the game facilitated this forming, I also knew that Warcraft would not be where it stopped. It would branch out. It would not just branch out to other Blizzard games, but just in gaming in general. And then it would be more than that even. It would become groups of like-minded people talking about things that they wanted to do or things they were interested in that had nothing to do with games, but just this was a mechanism or a crossing point where like-minded people and even some unlike-minded people would have a chance to meet, form bonds and friendships, and that stuff would go on for, well, until this day. And that was unexpected. None of that was expected for me. I knew that there would be lots of opportunity for, we're going to raid Tuesday, see you then, and hey, look at guild so-and-so, or group so-and-so, they've downed whatever first on the server, and yay, woohoo! Like, that kind of stuff was going to happen. And I think that's great. And if that's all that would have happened, it still would have been amazing. But what happened instead is it just branched out from there and became something more than that. Like there are people who I've now effectively known for a decade who there's no other way I would have met them. There's no other circumstance, under any circumstance, I would have run into them. And they turned out to be people that I rely on, that I confide in, that I talk to all the time, whose personal lives are important to me, and I want to make sure they're doing okay, and they want to make sure I'm doing okay. And it just flies in the face of this weird old notion that I think some people still have, that we're just, you know, anonymous pale-faced weirdos in basements. And it's just not that. It's a much warmer, more open, and in plenty of cases a very physical relationship. It's a very, let's meet up at this con. Let's all do this at BlizzCon. Let's go to Nerdtacular. Let's do these things and, you know, really get to know each other. And there's some people at home going, hey, get to know each other. Physical. That's not what I'm talking about. I just mean, you know, there's a family there that I didn't know I had nor needed 10 years ago. And now it's invaluable. So all this stuff, there's a point to where we're kind of heading with this. And the reason I hope listeners are, or if you're still here, you heard my little preamble at the top of the show, so you kind of know what to expect today. But I wanted to do two things today that were important to me. One was get a reunion out of Randy and I somehow. So here it is. So I hope everyone's basking in the warm glow of that. All right, whatever that gives you, whatever tingly sensation you have in your nethers, this gives you. Great, I think that's awesome. So it's something we wanted to do anyway, and here's our good excuse. But there are sort of somber circumstances as to why all this is coming up in our minds, why we're reflecting on 10 plus years of community driven by World of Warcraft and beyond. And it's the loss of one of our own. We lost really one of the greatest people I ever knew and had the chance to meet both in person and online. And that was Roger White, also known as, of course, Ralph. Everyone knows him as Ralph. And he passed away suddenly a few weeks ago now. And we've done all sorts of things within our community to sort of honor him and I think give people a way to express themselves regarding him and his influence on people. But man, what a wake-up call that entire experience has been to me. Because this wasn't just some guildy that lived in Wisconsin or something that I'd never heard from outside of a few runs in a dungeon or something. And oh no, oh, he passed away. Oh, it wasn't one of those. And those can happen too. Some people, you know, inject themselves in the community more than others. But in the case of Ralph, he went from guy I heard about, guy who was really helpful and awesome, guy who then became part of our guild leadership, to guy who over the last 8 years or so has been always there every day in some way in my life. And I had taken complete for granted on this. In a way, I feel like the onlineness of all of this made him almost kind of an artificial construct that was eternal. In a weird, it's kind of hard to explain, but he just was never going to go away. And I mean that in all the positive ways. He was just this friend you could call on anytime. He was always reaching out to see how you were doing. He was always wanting to talk about the stuff you were into. He was on every live show I did. He was in that audience talking and communicating and being part of that world. And then I would find out from 100 other people that he was spending that same kind of time with them and just being this pinnacle of the community. And man, that got me just thinking for days on end about what that means and how powerful that is and how it was snuffed out way too soon. And we were left sort of going, oh my gosh, what did we really lose here? And we lost way more than just a casual online acquaintance. That is all very new territory for me in a way that has not really happened before. And I know a lot of people listening to this were affected by Ralph and what he did for this community, but what a wonderful weird weave it is to start with a game where we're just trying to get gear and level up, and then you know, eventually we end up with somebody who we'd happily name our kids after. You know what I mean? Like, that's it's a weird experience, man.
Well, and I think the reason you and I are having this discussion at this hour is because we both kind of realized a week ago when we had an online wake for Ralph, that there was a lot more that we kind of wanted to investigate and talk about than just Ralph. Like, at a wake, you talk about the dearly departed, and you and I did a lot of that. And coming out of that, I felt like, gosh, there's more here. There's more to this.
Yeah.
Somehow Ralph has sparked something for me that is, that, you know, is greater than even all of my memories and experiences of Ralph, and there are a lot of those. So
yeah, and he's this big, so for those who didn't have the honor of meeting him, he's this great big teddy bear of a guy, great big dude. When you hug him, you know you're getting hugged. Just the sweetest disposition, kind-hearted, funny, hilarious, all of those things. There have been times since his death where I went, was he really here? Did we have this guy who I just didn't fully appreciate? Or was there, you know, was this some kind of weird, like almost supernatural event where you're impacted by somebody who's only had this one mission to come and make everybody realize that video games can be a haven for real relationships, for real quality interaction? Like, we're in an age where that's possible. The tools, the technology, things like you were talking about earlier, they're in a place where we just have no excuse, you know? We're like, all of us are, there's two ways you can go, and you can go all in. You can be a complete douche and, you know, put a fake face on and make a wake of destruction online if you so choose to. Or you can do like Ralph did, which was whatever the opposite of that other thing is, just this this awesome, everything he touched turned to gold, people would feel better when he was there. It's really unusual. I mean, I know there are other people doing this. There are people that if they died tomorrow, I'd go, oh no, this is like Ralph level stuff, or even more. Like, I know that, but I don't know that anyone's exemplified it more than his time in our guild, in our lives, in our, you know, in our space.
Well, and also you get to know people online, and even though you meet them in person, you know them much more as words on a screen and maybe a voice that you talk to, you know, over your voice chat and this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Or a Torin or an undead guy or a human or whatever, right?
That really came home for me when I got an email from Ralph's mom after the funeral, which was 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And it was just a few words about this strange experience for she and her family, because, you know, you really don't ever intend to attend to the funeral of your child.
Right.
And one of the things she said kind of blew me away, which was she said that she knew some of how widely, I guess, involved he was with lots of other people. She had, you know, she had visited him. She said she even had listened in a bit on conversations that he was having on his computer with other people and this sort of thing. But she said so many of his family in Missouri didn't really know what she called the East Coast Roger. And I, that phrase just got me, the East Coast Roger. And I got to thinking about how, you know, my family, there's probably a bunch of people in my family who don't know the West Coast Randy.
There are people I was at a wedding yesterday. There are people that are right next to me who don't know what the West Coast Scott is doing. They have no idea. Like, I totally get that. I totally understand that. But in their case, I think even more so, he was away from then for a long time. He was working in Maryland and, you know, had been a part of what we're doing for so long that a lot of this must have seemed kind of foreign to them. In a way that, you know, I think now in retrospect, she probably looks at it and goes, man, I'm glad that was there for him. But I,
The conclusion I was going to get to, the hardest thing for me to deal with is I want to say to this person who's, she is a complete stranger to me. This is the first time we've ever communicated. I want to say to her, hey, I feel like I was his family too. And that shows you the power of community.
Yeah.
Like, There's nothing quite like the ability to talk to and communicate with people and share your lives in some way, you know, online, for building bonds that are just as good as family or close friends, this kind of thing.
In some ways, better, because you can kind of jumpstart it. Like, I just share this little anecdote. My daughter and Brian Ibbett, a friend of the show's son Tristan, were at a one of our Nerdtacular gatherings back in 2011, and she would have been 13 or something at the time, and Ralph just sauntered up to the game area where people were playing board games and things and stuff, and just said, hey, do you guys want to learn how to play Magic? And they were like, yeah, we want to know how to play Magic the Gathering, that sounds cool. So they sat down, and he spent I don't know how long teaching them the both basics and advanced strategies of how to play a good Magic game and how to build your deck and what cards are good and all that sort of thing to these kids who otherwise have no connection to him. And when they got news of Ralph's passing, they were devastated. And I got thinking to myself, it's kind of pretty much, except for subsequent years when we'd see him again and, you know, they would say hi to him, but it was kind of their one and only major interaction with him. And yet it was so palpable for them and the loss was so real. I really had to think about that for a while and go, well, now why is this that my daughter's this upset about him? She's a big hearted kid anyway and tends to, you know, feel for everybody. But there was something more here. And I think what it is, you know, when you lose somebody who matters to you, most of the time it's because of years of interaction, or they raised you, or you raised them, or, you know, you have all of these very intimate sort of long-term familial kinds of experiences together. But in this case, it was a game of Magic or two. And it's like a weird jump-started version, like concentrated amounts of connection.
Yeah, connection.
Yeah. And that is really unique and unusual to our world, I think. And I don't just mean our community. I think this is true of a lot of communities. But this world we live in now, where a shared interest in Diablo 3 can get you married, you know?
What? And, you know, you hear people, especially older people, say, I'm so glad I didn't grow up on the internet or with the internet, blah, blah, blah. And I always think in my head when I hear that, gosh, I'm so glad I just caught it. I just, you know, like I'm just young enough that I feel like I kind of grew up with the internet, because there's so many things that I can't imagine living without. And I don't mean iPhones. I mean relationships and ways to create relationships and sustain relationships that are quite real. If like, and I realize that it's 2017. We need to put to bed that argument, right? That how you are on the internet is not how you are in real life, or even that IRL means anything
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, actually trying to make that distinction starts to grate on me now.
Yeah, because this is just, it's all real life. And there's never a time when we should excuse ourselves from our responsibilities to our relationships. Mm-hmm. Maybe for our generation that knew before and after, there's some things to get used to.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
But, gosh, I'm so glad that we, have what we have, and we've, had these opportunities, because we got to know someone like Ralph. Like, I'm so glad that I got 10 years of shared experiences with him rather than only 7 or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, and plus it's all just so ramshackle. It's like, well, why did, you know, when Andrew left the show, how did Randy get on the show? Everyone always asks me. Oh, well, I just asked him if he would, because he was doing this cool segment for the show that he just volunteered to do one time. And that led to that. And then this leads to this. And then that other thing leads to that. And before you know it, you got all these leads to going on. And you and the sum of it is kind of breathtaking. And it's not like it was all easy. It's not like this entire journey has been like a piece of cake and one big kumbaya all the time. There's been division sometimes in the community. They're usually, that stuff usually heals, but sometimes not. Sometimes it's, you know, just tricky to know the best thing to do in the right situation. But that's family also. Like,
yeah, and you know, like the real core answer to how do you and Randy even have a history mm-hmm. is chemistry. Mm-hmm. That's the real core answer. If you and I, the first time we ever just chatted on Skype, hadn't had any chemistry at all, we would have gone our separate ways.
Right.
And that chemistry is something that we uncovered very quickly. And then you go along and we make a community together, and we uncover that we have chemistry with someone like Stig, and we uncover that we have chemistry with someone like Ralph, and other people we don't.
Yeah.
And so they don't become, you know, a leader and a guide for so many others. But the point I'm trying to make here is that there's this real simple concept, and this is how you find your tribe. This is how your tribe gets created online now, mm-hmm. and probably for the rest of humanity, as long as we have this kind of technology.
So here's a question for you. What do you think it is about, you know, with obvious ties notwithstanding? And listen, the ties from me to Blizzard, certainly Randy to Blizzard, are deep and long and historic. But what do you think it is about World of Warcraft that is the right platform at the right time for what we've seen in the last 10 years? Was it just lucky? Was it just that it happened to be the big, broad-based MMO experience that finally everyone bought into, and you went into the millions instead of the hundreds of thousands, and that just also happened to be right around the time the internet started to find its, like, tendrils, and it's, you know, we were starting to head into the worlds of Facebook and Twitter down the road and things like that? Or do you think there's more to it than that?
I do think there's more to it than that, and I think that the sociological book on what in the world is going on in the years between like 2001 and 2010 that end up with these communities like ours is extremely complicated. There's a lot to it. Mm-hmm. The thing of I think you can come up with two answers that seem like they're in conflict, but they're actually married. And, you know, one is things like World of Warcraft are good. Flat out, they're good. There's, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of really talented people put a lot of effort into creating this space where people kind of have to come together.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's that.
That's a really good point. I hadn't never really looked at it that way, but it does seem like this happens a lot at Blizzard, where they don't realize that they're doing it while they're doing it. In other words, their adherence to quality and polish on all the levels that they like it, whether it be story or, you know, graphics or whatever, they're so focused on that stuff. But what ends up happening is that kind of attention to detail, that sort of perfection, tends to inadvertently make it possible for these things to grow around it. And I don't mean just like straight up success is one thing. Lots of people have that and it comes and it goes. You know, 1 minute you can be a huge Call of Duty fan and the next minute you can be sick of Call of Duty and the community's not doing great or whatever. But for whatever reason, Blizzard faithful tend to stay that way. Even if they jump out to other Blizzard games or even if they jump out to other games in general, their hearts are just always sort of there. And I always get the impression that they don't know they're doing it. They don't know that they're providing the fertile ground for the seeds to grow. But just the act of the kind of work they do makes that ground fertile. For good or ill, whether they know it or not, that's just the way the ground is.
Yeah. But then here's the other thing, the second thing. And I think you got to ask yourself a question like, are these kinds of online communities raging in India, in China, in places where the technology is different? And there are nascent things like this, but the answer is no. We are striking an iron in a very particular part of the world with a very particular kind of technological advancement in that time frame, that 2001 to 2009 time frame. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a miracle that these things stuck together. Because, you know, you have these capitalist drives and these political shifts in the world and so forth. Mm-hmm. But somehow in what we kind of call the Western world, the English-speaking Western world, there's been this stability.
Yeah.
And that you would think that something like World of Warcraft would come along and it would have its success and it would fade away.
Right.
Because so many other things are trying to beat it.
Right.
But the stability part actually works in concert with it. And people want to create relationships and maintain them and have them forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, that is actually working against you if you want to go make the next big MMO right now.
Oh, yeah. You could. People think it's just the game they got to worry about. Like there is that's the heart. I mean that you just nailed it. Like that's everything. Like for another MMO to launch tomorrow, and you know, God knows there's two or three MMOs out there that if you looked at it in a vacuum and said, here's a good MMO, you'd say, yeah, it is. That's a nice MMO you got there. You got some cool ideas, you're doing some neat stuff, nice execution, you built on it over time. Like all that stuff's true. But they're all missing this one major hook, which is how do we grow these virtual and therefore real families? How do all these attachments happen? And again, I'm not sure Blizzard knows. I'm not sure they do. I don't think there's a secret sauce to it, except that I think it grows up around quality and focus and adherence to principle. I think those things just naturally spawn the kinds of stuff we're talking about.
Well, I disagree with you. I think Blizzard knows exactly what it's doing. I'm the world's biggest fan of Blizzard, and this message has been brought to you by Blizzard Entertainment, celebrating 25 years of. Well, anyway, the thing is, the thing is, we keep coming around to Ralph, yeah. And I want to come back around to him here because Ralph played all the games.
Yeah.
But my gosh, did Ralph play all the games?
Yeah.
He. In video game business, you identify these people you call whales, also in the casino business, right? They are people who the 1% who actually spend money when they don't absolutely have to.
Yeah, it's like the free-to-play app store world we live in now. It's like those are the whales of du jour.
There's another strange kind of person out there in video gaming, and that's the player who purchases and tries all the games. And Ralph is one of those. And you would not think that those things go hand in hand, that someone being the cornerstone of a community that's glued together by basically shared experiences in a game, could also be the sort of person who has his fingers in every pie that comes along. But somehow Ralph made that work like nothing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Everybody I ever talked to who joined this community immediately told me, oh, and I found out that there were some people in AIE who were playing this game, you know, they're going to play Rift while it was still on. And so I went and joined your event. Ralph and I went and did this thing. Every single one of them.
Yeah, he started, it was like Multiplicity. It was like in 12 places at once, it felt like, that guy. It was crazy.
I don't know how he did it. But the point is, it goes against what you might think of if you're just talking about the business of video games, where they want to get a customer really adhered to them forever. There are some customers, apparently, for video games that can adhere to everything.
Right. There are some. But what set him apart, though, was it wasn't that he's going to come buy all your video games. That wasn't the whale-ness of him.
No.
He wasn't addicted to your video games. What he was they were part of his minutia. Like, they were part of his daily routine, in that this is how I am friends with this group. So we are going to do stuff together. And hey, it's a new season of Diablo. Scott, let's power level a character so we can get you going on your achievements and stuff. Like, they were weirdly tools in his hand instead of the other way around. And that's odd. Like, still to this moment, I don't know how he was able to do it. And it went far and wide. It wasn't just limited to Blizzard games. That's where his real love was, I think. But it would go out of the stable occasionally, and it would be some weird stuff sometimes. And there'd be opportunities for me to get a text from him saying, Scott, you have to try this. This is the weirdest thing on Steam. It's only $5. Let's go. And we would go, and we would play that thing or whatever. And nobody didn't like him. And the very next day, a new season of Diablo would drop, and it was back to, all right, Ralph is here to help everybody. Somehow he's level 70 plus, who knows how many paragons, without any other help. Somehow he's all ready to go. Like, he was amazing that way. And it's just, oh my gosh, it was crazy.
It's funny, just to take that little difference of character. Like, for me, I've spent the last decade trying to not bother you too much. And it's very recently, with Ralph passing away, that I've learned, oh, you can actually do that, and Scott won't hate you. Like, you're the kind of person who I really take your opinion of a video game seriously. Mm. And so I don't want to, you know, infringe on your time every time I come across some mobile game that I think is kind of cool.
Right.
Ralph did that.
Yep.
And the infringement worked out great, because Ralph is so freaking amazing.
Yeah, because he didn't do it just like, oh, hey, here's a thing you should try because I should tell you what to play or any of that. It was always like, you welcomed it. You were like, oh, now Ralph recommended it? All right, I'm in. I want to see what Ralph's cooking.
Not just that Ralph liked it, but that he thought it was something you would like too. Yeah, cared.
That's the key.
About your feelings.
Yeah, no, that's the regarding key. That's exactly it. That's the entirety of it. It is not about whether I want a season 9 Diablo character. That isn't the point. Or that he's got one and he's bored and needs people to play with. Those are never the points. The point is, he knew I liked it, and he knew what I liked about it and how I liked to play it, and wanted me to let me know that he's there free to do that. Like, that's a very unusual relationship. Like, it's so, just the most generous side of gaming. There's just no other. I don't know how else to explain it. I don't know anybody in my real life that's this generous with their time or their effort or their thoughtfulness. Like, these moments of, hey, you'd like this. No one does that. Who does that? I mean, a few people do that. But Ralph really did it. And he did it in concentrated amounts all the time.
Well, and to circle all the way back around to community building and community management, this is kind of an odd story. Like, I've been studying community management a lot, and it's a pretty straightforward kind of communications and, mm-hmm. and public relations. It's about establishing these spaces online where people can engage together, and other buzzwords that I can throw at you. Yeah. And Ralph, sort of broke out of that. He kind of went his own way, and he it's the weird thing is, my conclusion is not that it was about him, which is so weird, because very quickly after we all got to know him, we made him an officer in this community, and not long after he became an officer, he became a council officer, you know, a leader of the officers and of the rest of the whole of the community.
It was like a no brainer. It just made perfect sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And there were times when I thought about this very large community as really only having like five leaders, like five people who really, you know, you could count on to make a decision. You know, if you needed a decision immediately, or to communicate something, if you needed something communicated immediately. And Ralph was always one of those five. Yeah. Always.
Yeah. And I don't like, I mean, I've said this at the memorial, I have zero desire to live in a post Ralph world where somebody's not that. Like, he's just, he provided this way of like, all right, we know BlizzCon dates. What are we doing for the room? Like, nobody else was, Ralph would think about it because the rest of us didn't want to. Not because we don't want to see each other, but because it's a pain. It's a huge management nightmare. It's like stuff you got to do. And he would always get out ahead of that stuff. And I'm going to miss that big time.
And so I think the thing I want to add to the definition of successful community management, in addition to tone and things like correctly policing your community, because you got to get rid of the jerks or they will run everybody else off and this kind of thing. In addition to all of that, I want to, because of Ralph, I now want to make sure we're talking about persistence.
Yeah.
And this sort of continual attention that you have to pay to a community for it to thrive. There are innumerable examples of communities that that failed, and I think a lot of them have to do with there wasn't a reason, a person or people that were bringing everyone together like a magnet every day or every week or however often communities are communicating with each other. It doesn't take a person, by the way. I don't think that AIE and the larger Frog Pants community is about to shatter. I want to make that really, really clear.
Yeah, I don't either. But it's slightly less. I'll put it this way: it may be less with Ralph's passing, but it's been weirdly motivating to remind everybody that they can kind of fill in for him. Like, he can. It sounds trite to say it, but you know, he'll live on by the fact that we see the value in what he brought and reinforce it. I have great optimism about that for the future of our little tribe here. And you know, without that kind of example, though, it's difficult to say whether we would have even, I don't know. I'd like to think that we got further and better with him in it than we would have without him. And now that he's not here, I think it's incumbent on us to pay attention to what that was and reinvigorate it, make it part of us in ways where it wasn't just us relying on Ralph to do it, and instead we're doing it in his stead. You know, a lot of this stuff over the last few weeks has been like, oh, you know, it's easy to go, well, his impact will be missed. It'll be difficult to fill his shoes. Like, all those, you know, ways of saying that have been said, but I've never been in a situation where I felt, not really since my dad died, have I felt in a situation where it was more appropriate to say we need to fill those shoes. We need to find a way to let that, his imprint, stay and be an integral part of things. And I think we're on the road to doing that. I mean, in the last few weeks, I've seen people step up in ways I haven't in a very long time. And I, you know, I hope we can keep that momentum going. But saying all of that and knowing who's listening to us, you know, we've got a decent size of people who are involved in this community directly that are listening right now. But there are a ton of you out there with like a 30-man guild or a 100-man guild, or you and your five friends who just run dungeons and wait for the next expansion. Like, there's so many variations of what we're talking about here. And I know that in each of those situations, y'all could use your own Ralph, or you've got one. And I would just like to make the recommendation that people reach out and show as much appreciation to your Ralph as you can. Because as it turns out, sometimes your Ralph can be taken without any warning. And that's rough business. It was something we were just not prepared for. And so many of us had recent conversations with Ralph about all sorts of fun things, but generally trivial things. I wish one of those things would have been, Ralph, I'm just grateful you're part of this community. And I don't think I'd like it as much if you weren't in it. I wish I would have told him more. But he became the lord for granted. Like, just was there no matter whether you knew it or not. He was just going to always be there, and you were going to always expect it. And I regret that a little bit.
Well, and I, as I said last week, taking something for granted is not always a negative.
No.
There are plenty of things that we are lucky if we get to take them for granted. Mm-hmm. Don't take for granted that the things you have and the people you know and the feelings you feel are forever. That's the thing that I have just keep coming around to on this. And I just reminded myself of J.K. Simmons' speech when he do you remember when he won? Was it a golden? No, it was an Oscar, right?
Yeah, a couple years ago for Whiplash. Yeah, yeah.
And he stood on stage and said, "Call your mom." One of the hardest lessons to learn in life, and you really learn it the hard way, is that there's going to come a time when your best friend is not available anymore for you to ever call again.
Yeah.
Don't wait until then to realize what you've got.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So to end things here today on a note of I don't know, a way to tie a bow on this. Community in video games, certainly in World of Warcraft, which by and large this audience is the most interested in, is pretty unique. I do feel like we're going to all be in our 70s one day, hopefully most of us, and say, wow, can you believe what that was? Like, that's, we're going to look back on this and just marvel at it a little bit. And there may be all new ways of doing it. You know, the kids will be running around with VR visors or some kind of weird augmented whatever. And, you know, they'll be living in a future with social interaction far beyond anything we can even dream of. But we'll look back and go, remember when it was Skype and Ventrilo and Mumble and Discord and the game World of Warcraft and the new voice server in Battle.net, and remember the nights we spent laughing and hooting and hollering at trying to take down the fourth wing of some new raid. You know, and recall the kinds of experiences like, oh shoot, I forgot to gem up my weapon before we left town, and and have somebody like Ralph's go, I'm a jewel crafter, come here, and they just give you what you need. There's going to be a day where we can just assess that from a perspective that will give us pause, and I'm not looking forward to getting there, but when I do, it's going to put a smile on my face, because I feel like we were at a bit of a ground zero when it came to this sort of thing. We blazed a new trail in lots of ways, and it isn't just us. It's so many people around us that did that. And, you know, despite the fact that you've not heard Randy and I on this show together for a very long time, you know, that very much our time together on the show was very much the time when we saw the explosion of this kind of thing we're talking about today. And it's a really incredible legacy. I hope it stands the way I look at it today. I hope it stands even taller one day when I'm looking back at it and, you know, we've started to lose some of us and, you know, we're just in a different place, and maybe we never will. Maybe this idea that we're going to ever have that perspective is bunk. Maybe one day we're in our 80s and we're still communicating via whatever, and we're still hanging out and we're still playing whatever the hell Blizzard made. Like, that's entirely possible. It's not, you know, we could go on about what's really ephemeral in this life and what isn't, but maybe we could just keep going. You know, who knows? But I'm glad. I'm grateful.
I just had this crazy little daydream that 40 years from now, you and I are so old, and we're having a podcast where we're talking about what Olivia Morheim's company Blizzard 3 is doing. She's just a baby.
Yeah, she's a tiny kid right now. She'll be CEO of some huge conglomerate at that point.
It's really easy to take an experience like this and just say, well, there's a lesson, and here's what it is, and then just kind of rattle off whatever you feel like you've not been doing. Yeah. You know, yeah. The lesson I just learned is I should never eat whatever I happen to eat right before this tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really easy. The important thing that I hope that you and everyone listening takes away from this is that it's about effort. Like, it's not, there's no quick fix to anything, and there's no solution to whatever it is that you're missing. You know, you're missing relationships, or you're missing the right relationship in your life. Mm-hmm. It's going to take effort.
Yeah.
And Ralph is the perfect sort of monument to that. Fix something, do something, accomplish something, be something, and know that it's going to take effort. You're going to have to throw yourself into whatever it is, or, you know, accept that that's not the thing that you're going to experience.
Sure.
But man, effort. Ralph was effort.
Yeah.
An athlete or something like that, but everything he did was directed in the right direction with the people that he touched and the people that he knew.
Yeah.
You can't beat that, like the effort that you have in you to accomplish things. You're never going to get a shortcut.
I agree. It doesn't matter where you're talking about either. You want to have a better relationship with your kids, effort. If you want to have a better relationship at work, effort. Like, all of it takes effort. We're not here to hand out lessons necessarily. Life's hard. Life's hard. Life's tricky. But he made that look easy, and for that, I'm grateful. I'm glad we had him in our lives. More importantly, I hope all of you have the kinds of relationships with your guilds, with your playmates that you want, and that you're going to continue to foster those. Do your part to put in the effort.
Oh, I just heard, man, I heard Ralph's voice in my head saying, I'd like a relationship with a playmate.
He would totally say that, dude.
He would have totally said that.
Yeah, he would have said that. He would have laughed. We all would have laughed. He's probably laughing now.
Yeah.
But probably not. Well, we don't know. But all I know is if Ralph could laugh right now, he would. He would laugh in a heartbeat. And he would be, he would love the fact that we made an inadvertent, somewhat risque comment about him and playmates. And he would love that. So yeah. I can't think of any better way to honor Ralph and his legacy than by doing that. Thank you all for listening. I know it's a little bit different. Don't worry. We'll be back to patch notes and 7.3 and all the other things next week. And all the stuff you love and like about the show. That's all coming back. But I'm really grateful for those who listened through this, for you guys letting us have a little introspection to not only talk about what it means to run a community like this, why these things tend to crop up, but also honor our friend a bit and dedicate this entire effort to him, because I feel like I'm never going to have enough things I can say about Ralph, but it's cathartic for me to be at the memorial. It's cathartic for me to make a podcast and talk about him in this context. And it's equally cathartic to be able to do this with you, Randy. I really appreciate you being on with me.
I am so happy right now. I like, as sad as the last 11 days has been, since we found out about this tragedy, I have found so much joy in the realization that we get an opportunity to do more,
yep,
to connect more. And that is just the most wonderful thing. If I had one opportunity on this episode to ask you a quick fire question, it would be, would you please just give me a little more minutes in your life every week, please, because I love you, and what you and I have is awesome, and what you and Ralph had was awesome, and I want to maintain as much as I can some of that.
Amen to all that. I agree 100%. If you want to follow Randy on Twitter, do it. You can have conversations like this with him there, at Randy Deluxe. You can find me at Scott Johnson. And, of course, the show at theinstance.net. Thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. Love to hear your feedback about this episode and your own experiences in your guilds and your communities, whatever they may be, no matter how far they may reach. So send us emails, theinstance@gmail.com. It's going to do it for us. Thank you again, Randy. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Oh, now I've got to go make a milkshake and give it an inappropriate name.
Will it bring me to the yard? That's the question. We'll be right back.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.